And then the kidney of Aginti, forces of darkness, repentance,
anger,
jealousy,
hatred,
finding pain, finding pleasure in the pain of others, and arrogance. Amen. Now, forces of good. In the forces of good, the principle is being truthful. One of the principles is being truthful. The other is being thankful. If you almost take the opposite of the principles of darkness, the opposites of that would be the principles of good. Because light and darkness is the opposite of each other, right? Goodness and bad is the opposite of each other. So what we have to do is not really worry about Illuminati or any of these things. We should worry about, find out what their principles are and try not to have it inside of us. Because if we do have them inside of us, then we are actually forces of what?
Evil.
Darkness. We are our own selves. But if we have the principles of goodness inside, then we are part of the force of goodness and light. Right? In the principles of goodness, another is sacrifice. To sacrifice yourself and what you have for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which you try to do as much as possible for humanity. And in their betterment and them getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find pleasure. See? It is the opposite of finding pleasure in the demise and pain of others. Right? Jealousy, the opposite is being thankful. Like if you have something, you're better looking than I am. Instead of me being jealous, I should say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, thank you very much for blessing me for what I am. A jealous person will try to have that person lose that thing that they are jealous about. But a thankful person says, oh Allah, give that person more. And if you want, and if you find it to be okay for me, give that to me too, and give me the ability to be thankful. So, if you do too much research about this Illuminati and all this other stuff, you'll come to a certain state of mind where you're going to be looking at triangles and trees. And even in the mirror, when you look at yourself, you'll be seeing a triangle, right? Your nose is a triangle. No? And then on top of it, there's an eye as well, right? There's right beside it. So, if you do too much research on YouTube and you carry on watching all these videos, and a lot of them are just repeats, and you know, I mean, they're talking about the same thing. If you've seen one video, you've seen all of them. Try to focus yourself to find out what are the principles of the forces of light and goodness, and try to incorporate them inside of you. See, okay?
In the Quran, it is in Surah Baqarah, they say that when you tie knot, I don't remember exactly, but it's regarding Shaitan and Jinnat, and they tie the knot and break the marriages or something like that.
Right, we have it in other surahs as well. One of the ones that we do is this knot that we're talking about. This discussion is going to go towards magic.
Stop it.
Okay, well, that's fine. Only fireworks, fireworks, Harold. We have campfire talking about all this stuff, is fine. How many people say magic exists? You know, in fiqh, in our jurisprudence, it is haram to practice magic, right? If something did not exist, we would not have the law that would state that it is haram for you to do, right? If it didn't exist, right? So that means is that if there is a law that says that prohibits it, that means that it does have a reality to it. Right? And he says that don't do it. If it didn't exist, somebody says don't do it. I'm saying, oh, what are you talking about? If it doesn't exist, it's not a matter of doing it or not doing it. Right? So that it does exist. But It is haram for us to do. Second thing is, the only power in this universe is of Allah. He is the only one that has power. The rest of the powers that exist are powers of Him that He has given to someone. Like He speaks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, right? He spoke to Hazrat, who was it? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I can speak, right? I have the power of speech, so does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do I have the power of speech, or it is the power of speech of Allah that He has given to me that I can speak? So in reality, I have no power. Because if you didn't give me the power to speak, then I would not be able to speak to you. I don't know. So in reality, the only power that there is of Allah. The rest of the things that do seem to have power is only power given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With me so far? When we talk about magic, there is a lot of myths as well. Things that are actually nothing to do with reality, is just a figment of the imagination of people, and they come up with it. Like, for example, my business is not going well, it must be magic. I am fighting with my wife a lot these days, it must be magic. And I'm falling on the ground too much, it must be magic. I'm getting sick a lot, that must be magic. When we start seeing the in that there is a test. It hits me. Thank you.
Ani or Ani would again.
This fire is amazing, isn't it? In the hellfire, you think the fire is going to be like this? A little warmer. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit warmer. But you know what the main difference is going to be?
You'll be in the hellfire. You'll not be sitting outside.
We are going to be the fuel.
We and the stones.
Yes. The stones are actually those people whose hearts have become such that nothing comes out or goes out. So, imagine that if you are the actual fuel, and the fuel is going to burn for eternity. There's not even one moment of peace.
Slowly.
Right? So, now that we are in front of this fire which we are controlling and we are adding on it, it's just like we adding sins. These logs are like sins. We are increasing the fire of hell for ourselves. When we sin, that's what we're doing. We're finding some logs and putting on the fire so it becomes bigger. The banana is back or
no? No.
Any other questions before you come?
It's based on like I guess you could say faith. Like in Shia Islam, we believe in taqiyya, right?
Taqiyya, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just curious as into why didn't Imam Hussein use taqiyya at the moment of Karbala?
Okay, Manam, can you repeat the question because his wife was not
so the question is that we have a concept of called taqiyya and why did Imam Hussain Sadhu Sam not use taqiyya at the time of Karbala? So taqiyya and taqwa, they're basically from the same root. In Quran you will find the word taqiyya being used for taqwa. The concept of taqiyya is, in Islam, is very much different than what we have. Because the question that you ask highlights that concept of taqiyya that we have in our mind. Taqiyya yani not doing anything or trying to escape. Right? Like the concept that we have built. Taqiyya yani trying to escape, trying not to do anything. Or telling something which is not true, right? All of the Imam As-Salaam, the way they fought and the way Imam Hussain Sadhusan fought, it was exactly the same. The only difference was that after Karbala, no Yazid had the power to come in front of the Imam and have an army of 30,000-40,000 to slaughter and martyr 72 or the friends of Imam. Because of the defeat the Yazid had in Karbala, none of the Yazids of the times afterwards had the atrocity to be able to do that. The other thing is that taqiyya means you are going to be using, like, you know how in the old days you used to have those shields? You seen the gladiators?
Yeah.
You know those shields that are there? So basically what it means is that you're going to protect yourself, but by protecting yourself you're still going to hit.
Right, so
you're still fighting, but now your approach of fight is you're going to be more defensive than offensive. Right? So if you look at Imam Muslimin, the way they live their life, they exposed the Yazids of the time and they exposed them as such that they were threatened so much that this person, like, you know, their governments, they had they had millions and millions of dollars. If you look at it in today's perspective, USA has, well, it's in 14 trillions in debt, but imagine that they didn't have $14 trillion worth of debt, that they had $14 trillion of actually money, right? And then all these weapons and, you know, so many nuclear heads and everything else, and an army which they boast about technology and so forth. You know what? With all of that power, guess what? They're afraid of one man. They're like afraid of one man. Like, if you think about it, okay, you know what, you got all this power and everything else, just be and let it be. Like, you know, just live your life and just be whatever you want to do. Just, okay, why are you afraid of one man? And it was the same thing at the time of Imam Masrur. These governments were powerful. They had so much money. They had so much power. But they're afraid of one man, Imam Musa Ghazi Masrur. And their defeat was that they would put that one man into prison. Why? Because they're afraid that if he's not in prison, if he's outside, he has the power to topple our government. You know, what is this power that he has? And what is the power they don't have? The power that he has is the power of Allah SWT. Right? And the power they don't have is the power of Allah SWT. So all of the Muslims fought. And the biggest proof is that they, the governments of their time, looked at them as threat. If they did not have power, how can they see them as threat? Right? So taqiyya doesn't necessarily mean all of the concepts that we have in our mind. And then the other thing also is to do with the circumstances. Like, the circumstances that Imam Musa had was such that Imam had to have that.
He couldn't deny it.
Yani, we have this sort of concept that people say from the Mimbar and Masail as well, and sometimes we actually end up believing it. The Imam was majbur.
Yeah.
The Imam was forced. A masoom Imam cannot be majbur. He's never majbur. Other people can be majbur, but not the Imam of the time. Imam of the time cannot be majbur because he's connected with the ultimate and the only power in this universe, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is such that when the Imam of the time is connected to it, he's not majbur. What we fail to do is actually find those fine thin lines or between the lines or the minute things that sort of pass away from us in history. When we start looking at history and you do a very close up, you'll find that who was majbur was Yazid. Who was weak was Yazid. Whose army was majbur is the army of Yazid. How were they majbur? They were majbur of their own lowly desires. They were the slaves of their own lowly desires. They were majbur. Imam Hussain Sattusam says to them, you know what? If you cannot be free men for the hereafter in your religion, then at least be free men in your life, in this world. So, Imam is never majbur. Okay? Imam has strength and he is connected with the ultimate and the only strength, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just our inability or our shortcoming that we're not able to see those intricacies on those little things that make us understand. So taqiyya is not an excuse of not doing anything. Taqiyya is not an excuse of kind of like just fool people. Taqiyya is not like not standing up against the tyrant. Taqiyya doesn't mean that, you know, you're not putting a voice against the tyrant. You're doing all of that. But the method is
different.
Marana, one question. So as we came to know by the history that there are a lot of signs were explained before the arrival of Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Like there would be two Abdullah and tsunamis and, you know, killings and all these things. So is it very close or is there something else is needed to be first?
So the thing is, Imam Jawan's son can come tonight. I mean, it's not that he is bound by those signs. Okay? We have bound Imam by those signs. That we're saying, okay, if these signs are not there, that means Zuhur cannot happen. Meaning we are binding his Zuhur.
Okay, well,
we're limiting his Zuhur by...
And we may be asking question, what we are hearing from Maulana is very important for us, you know?
And yeah, because it's the question is what Fakar has asked.
No, this is because,
I know. What I was saying was that we have
made the
Zuhur of Imam limited by the signs. That we are saying that because the signs are not there, that means he's not coming. But the reality is that he can come even tonight. Okay? Okay, I say to you, I'm going. Okay? I'm going to go home now. Like, I'm going to go back to Brampton. There's probably no flights, nothing will happen. Now, let's say I had the ability to just disappear and just travel through the thin air and then just go back home. Right? If I had the ability, I would probably go. I know. So let's say I had the ability to be able to do that. You would be talking among yourselves. Both became the reason. Right? Like Allah said, are you fed up with us? Right? You'll start talking like, why did he leave? You'll say, okay, maybe the fire was too much and the space was burning or the smoke was there. Or maybe we did not do this or we didn't do that or we didn't do that. Right? Or maybe there was an emergency of his family or something like that. You'll be talking about that. So, you will not be talking about signs. You'll be talking about the reasons why I've disappeared. So, in reality, for the Imam, what we need to discuss is not necessarily the signs, but the reasons why Imam has disappeared. And if you can find those reasons why Imam is in hiding, and if you remove those reasons, then Imam can come. You know how many reasons there are that he's not here?
Thousands.
There's probably millions. I might be one of the reasons why he's not here. You know, like if you have a lake and you put a dam there with stones, then every stone is a reason for the water not to flow from there.
MashaAllah.
Okay. But if you start removing those little stones, the big stones and so forth, guess what's going to happen? That wall is going to get that weak at one point where it's just going to tremble and the water is going to flow.
SubhanAllah.
So we have to see of our own selves that am I the reason for Imam not to come, or I could be the reason for Imam to come. Okay? Now, you guys have heard about December, what is it?
22nd.
If the mind kept calendar like us, then they would be saying maybe 22nd, 23rd.
Half of the mind would say
23rd. You guys have heard about December 21st, 2012, right? Where the world is supposed to end in all this calamities and earthquakes and winds and tornadoes and floods and the axis of the axis of the earth is going to change, and then you're going to have all this stuff that is going to... You guys have heard about that, right?
Yes.
Last year as well, right? I mean, Y2K, they said it in the year 2000. They said it sometime in 96. They said it sometime in the 70s. But this time is for sure. And those were just practice, see if you were listening or not. But this time, and you know, every time they do, people commit suicides. There are thousands of people who have already committed suicides because they're thinking that on the 21st of December 2012, the world is ending, so what's the point of living? People have quit their jobs. And they have starting to live in woods like this and preparing, they're called preppers. You can find these shows on Discovery channels where they're showing these guys who quit their job and they're just living in the woods prepping for doomsday. Or how they will survive, how we do this and do that. The 21st of December 2012, they have two theories. One of their theories is that the world is going to end. The other is that the world is going to get into a new age or new era in which the elevation of humanity is going to happen. But the funny thing is that they're always looking at destruction. They don't really put that side for the people. Our belief is that this era of enlightenment and people elevating themselves can happen any day. And that is when the Imam comes from. We don't have to wait for December 21st, 2012 or another 21 or 2200 years while all the celestial entities will be in perfect alignment, which is another word, you know, somewhere down the future. We have to believe that Imam can come anytime. But when I say that Imam can come tonight, your minds are saying, yeah, he said it, and think that's it. It's not going to come tonight. It's like somebody saying, I might die tonight. And the person saying it to knows he's not going to die, and the people listening to it, they know that he's not going to die, he's just saying it. Mentally, we don't really accept those ideas, okay? The thing is, there is a way to actually convince yourself on this, that Imam is going to come soon. Should I go over that, or?
No. Yeah. Can you put that question in another way, saying, by saying like we have heard that when Imam will appear, the sun will come out, sun will rise from east. So, they are saying that the earth will change its axis, or and there will be a new world. Yeah. And also, also the east, there are new radiating like that. So,
yeah.
Can you put that question like that, please? So,
I could, but the thing about it is that, with NASA and with all the other communities of science that are there, or the theories, or the documentaries that are made, it's very hard to actually trust the information that they're giving.
Yes.
And I tell you why, because there are many people who believe that the man has not reached the moon yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then NASA actually made that as a scam. They actually videotaped it in a studio, because the tape where the person landing and the flag is flag in their eye.
Exactly.
So, उनके शैडोज मुख्तलिफ हैं, किसी का एक तरफ बन रहा है, किसी का दूसरी तरफ बन रहा है. तो ये जो ऑर्गेनाइजेशन है, इसके ऊपर इनके अपने लोगों का, their own people don't trust that organization. So we're not going to say that they are the authority, that if they are saying it, it will happen that way, right? But we can look into their theories, we can look at, you know, what they're saying, and see if our mind gets a little bit closer to the fact that Imam might be there. But we cannot say definitely that he will be there, because we cannot specify the time, right? So if the time cannot be specified for the Imam to come, we don't have the authority to do that. If we do it, we know that we are lying, and the other people also know that we are lying, so there's no point. But what we have to understand is that this event is going to happen, so that even if there is one night left for this earth, justice and peace is going to prevail, and people are going to have that. Heaven on earth, as are the different beliefs that exist in all different cultures, that eventually the good is going to win. For a moment, if you were to say in your mind, just in your mind, that 21st of December 2012 is the beginning of the new age or era for man, and for enlightenment, and for justice and peace, and for goodness to overpower evil. How many months do we have left?
4 months.
3 months in December?
September,
4 months.
4 months.
If we were to just say in our minds that there's 4 months left, what have we done to prepare? Right? I mean, those people who are on the Discovery Channel who are called the preppers for the doomsday, they have prepared. They've got bunkers, they've got food stored, you know, they are training their children. Yeah, they have, and they are teaching the kids how to survive from the earth and so forth. What have we done? When the Namaz was a Hajj is going to prepare ourselves on the Day of Judgment for it. Right? So the thing is that we have to come up with this, that the coming of the 12th Imam could be any time. It could be even tonight. It could be after 4 months. It could be after I die. But my responsibility is not to predict that time. My responsibility is to be prepared today. And if I was to, for example, die and leave this earth, which not that, for example, inshallah, it's going to happen, everybody's going to die, so will I. So, God willing, when I do pass away, right, and I go back home, if I have lived my life being prepared for the Imam, then I can still be part of his army, part of the group of people who are going to be there. Okay? So, you guys have to kind of come up with this, that, you know, is it something that you guys believe in, or is it something that, is it something that you're convinced about, or is it something that you're just listening and going with the flow and not really having conviction about it?
When Imam will appear, how would we identify him, how we recognize him? Because in the history, so many people have already announced that they are Imam Mahdi.
Yeah, there was one person, it's a kind of funny story, so I'll just start off with that. There's an institution that was made just for the research of the 12th Imam. So this institution got an email from North York. You know where North York is? It's in, close in GTA, in Toronto area. North York, they got an email saying that I'm the Imam of yours, and I really appreciate all the work that you're doing. Carry on. So what they did was they replied back in Farsi. In Persian, they replied back of the email, and this guy emailed them back, excuse me, you replied to me in Farsi, you should be replying to me in English. And then they replied to him in English saying the Imam that we are waiting for understands all of the languages. So if you happen to be that Imam that you're claiming, you should know Farsi at least. Right? So the thing is that people, there are many people who are false claimers that, you know, we are that and we're this. The one thing that I myself am quite content about is that when Imam is going to come, and with the leadership that we have, that leadership will be able to recognize the Imam, and whoever my leader is going to be saying that this is the 12th Imam, I will also say that that's my Imam. That's one thing. The other is, if you're good, you will know him. And it would be as if you've known him your whole life. No, it would be as if you've known him for lives, even past, before coming into this world. And it would be something that you would not be able to deny it with your mind. You'll just know. Okay? So the main thing is that you become good, and if you become good, you know, he's helped me so many times in my life, and he's come and helped me that I don't recognize that he's him. I've seen him, but I just don't know that he is him, right? Like, he doesn't come and says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, my name is Imam Rizwan, I'm your Imam, and I'm helping you with this. He doesn't do that, right? So the thing is that we don't have to worry about that too much. What we do need to have to worry is that we try to be as good as possible.
What about other than those believers of Imam Mahdi? They will turn to Imam Mahdi by the way Jesus
When Imam comes, he's going to have the miracles of the Prophet. So the miracles of the prophets are going to be shown. Like these miracles, like for example, the staff of Hazrat Musa, of Moses, is a relic, right? is actually something that existed. So that staff is with Imam. So when he comes, he can show that staff. He can show us certain the relics that of prophets. And the people who recognize or who are part of that faith, they will recognize that this person is actually someone who's chosen by Allah. Right? And then there will be debate as well. There will be a certain, there will be a good amount of time where everybody is going to be given the opportunity to be able to come to this conclusion that Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam is the one whom everybody has been expecting. Right? Now going back to the question of Bilal, which he had asked, his question was, what is the purpose of life? Right? Good old question which has been asked since the age of time, and people have given many different answers. But you ask the question, what is the purpose of life in accordance with Islam? Right? If you just put that as a general, what is the purpose of life, then purpose of life is anything that you have made up to be. I don't know if you guys have seen, so somebody asked this guy, what is the purpose of life, and he goes like this. What is that? That is one thing which is the most important for you in your life. That is your purpose of life. I think it's from one of the movies. So, when you start looking at the purpose of life, everybody has different answers, and the reason why they have different answers is because they are trying to tell you what is the most important for them, and this is the reason for them to live. But if you look at the Islamic perspective of purpose of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created all of the beings, has created out of love and mercy. Right? When you know that He doesn't need anything in return from you. Like if I do something for you, you would know that okay, He wants something in return. Right? But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's created me without me asking anything from me. And anything that I can give to Him is nothing. It's neither going to increase or decrease in His wealth or power or might. So He's created everybody out of complete mercy and unconditional love. And what He wants for His creation, especially us human beings, is that we achieve a complete eternal happiness and a place of for His mercy. Okay? Any type of happiness that you're going to get here is actually associated with pain. Like the fire looks really good, it's nice weather and everything, I'm going to light up the fire now. We need to have fuel, you gotta go buy, spend money for fuel, you're gonna have to have a fire pit, after that you find some logs. After that you burn it, and then now you're burning it, all the smoke is coming, you're inhaling and I'm getting all this fire. And like, and some of these things, if they come and you know burn me, then I'm like, oh. All of the pleasures that people like to eat, like oily foods, after they've had oily food, they get like heartburn, right? They get like these problems, right? So the thing is, every single pain that is there, it is associated with some sort of pain, because the way that this world is created. But there is a place that we want to go to where there is going to be happiness without pain. Complete happiness. No sadness, no remorse, no crying, no nothing, no fear. All of us want that, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be able to achieve that. How are we going to achieve it? There are certain, there's a certain way that if we live, in living that way, we'll be able to achieve that inside of our soul. The heaven can be inside of you. You can become people of the heaven even in living in this world. You know the people of the heaven? The verses of Quran, they say that the people in heaven will have no fear. They will have no sadness, no remorse. Right? They will not be hearing loose talk. new stock will not be there. They will be happy with their God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with them. They will have smiles on their faces. When they see each other, they will be smiling at each other. They'll be happy to see each other. Right? If you look at those qualities that the people of heaven will have, or the way they are going to be, you can actually have that in this life. The people of hell will have a smirk, and you know, like frowns on their faces, and they'll be angered when they see each other. Oh, you're the guy who I followed. I shouldn't have followed you. They will not have happiness. They'll have sadness and remorse and regret because of what they've done in this world. If you follow the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, you can become and have the qualities of the people of heaven in this world. But this world does not have the capacity to give you the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give you, which are forever. So for that purpose, E.T. call home. For that purpose, you need to go home. Because in your home, there is the ability for you to give you all of that for eternity. Right? So the purpose is that you achieve that, and how are you going to achieve it? Is you're going to achieve it by following the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for people to live. And once they do that, they will become people who can be just with each other. If there are 10 heavenly people, do you think they will fight with each other? Heavenly people are not going to be backbiting. You know what he did? You know what he said? You know, he always does that. They will not be tilting.
They won't have any reason to backbite.
There might still be reasons. There's always reasons. No, you know how muttaqi this person is? You know, why is he like that? So the thing is, you know how all the cultures, they want peace and justice on this earth? The only way peace and justice on this earth will come is that when we become heavenly beings. Only those beings can have justice with each other. If we are people of the hellfire, we cannot be just with each other. And that's why sometimes the world seems like hell, because the people living in it seem to be people of hell. That they have no patience for each other, they don't have any openness for each other, they're just like sad to look at each other, they're not happy, they are, even if they love, they only love for themselves, they don't really love for the other person, they want something in return, and everybody is just number one themselves and everybody is number two. To be able to achieve that number one, all the benefits, people can be, you know, put down and whatever they want to do, they can do.
You want to ask?
Yes.
Yeah. Me and a few friends were having a talk like this yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
About how the way that the world is, how it just doesn't make much sense. Mm. We're talking that if you were to take a certain type of animal
right.
and put them in like a kingdom, like for example, if you took horses or pigs and put them in a palace, it wouldn't be long before it's a pig pen again.
Yeah.
So it's really up to an individual.
Exactly.
Like the way you can't find salvation unless you actually change for yourself,
your own self,
because then the salvation you enter it and you can enter it into this world and then hopefully
that is actually
it.
True salvation.
Yeah.
When you can save yourself.
Yeah.
That is actually the true salvation.
Mm-hmm. But if you remain the same, it won't be long until you turn heaven into hell once again.
Exactly.
You can be reborn, but if you're born the same person,
it doesn't make
an ounce of difference. It's really a individual willpower to change, right?
It takes an effort. That you mentioned that, you know, if you were to put pigs and animals and castles, that castle would become a big stand. Because
it'd be a pig
when
pen.
You look at the world that God has created, it's much more beautiful than a castle.
Yeah.
You know, you look at these stars that He has made, all the trees, all the rivers, all the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
And because
this could
just
be
like your example of pigs, because pigs are living, they're polluting the water, they're destroying the trees, they're ruining the earth, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of keeping that as a precious creation of God, mm-hmm. to maintain it, to help it, they're destroying it,
yeah.
because of their own lowly desires. So yeah, that's basically part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in reality, if we are run by instinct, then we are no different than animals. And so, why does an animal get hungry? It's because of the instinct. Why do we get hungry? It's because of